Here's to your unspeakable joy. That's how Adrienne signs her emails. She is the Soul Power Coach. Soul Power Coach. A Sun trainer and an author of Finding Your Unspeakable Joy, right there where you are. Her website is unspeakablejoy.com. Adrienne is the daughter of Susie, Sarah, Susie, Gladys, Rachel, Susie, Inezi, Jane, Lizzie, Sophia, Louisa, Sophronia, Emma, Margaret, Abby, Judy, Jenny, and a host of men like her great-great-great-grandfathers, Purifi, Abnezer, and Hardy. Today, Monday, April 29th, 2019, she will be speaking to us about the roots of an extraordinary coach. How do our ancestors support us showing up as a more mindful and equitable coach? Welcome, Adrienne.
Thank you. Thank you all. I'm really excited to talk to you about this. So I wanted to take you through my evolution as a coach. You know, I've been doing this for 10 years. Oh, Terry, you asked about my t-shirt. It says, I am my ancestors' wildest dreams. And that really, it's been resonating with me for my whole life, but it really come into focus over the last few years. You know, I come from a background of human growth and development, and I'm always looking at this life cycle. You know, we talk about the direction of our purpose and this common thread that runs through our lives. And community and family and legacy has been a thread that's been running through our lives. And I think it's interesting to look at how we show up as coaches, paying attention to not only our own thread, but that thread of legacy that's running through our clients. What's interesting is I had a conversation. I'm an incoming board member for the ICFDC chapter of the DC Metro chapter of ICF. And we were having a great conversation. It was a Zoom room full of a variety of coaches. And the conversation turned to diversity and equity and inclusion. And one of the things we noticed is we started talking about the fact that I don't look like you, but most of my clients look like me. And this was a common thread that, you know, many of the coaches were saying. Now, I'm not saying that all of my clients look like me, but a large majority of my clients look like me. And some of the coaches were very curious about that. Like, how is this happening? You know, there is a common thought that people of color, people who look like me, people who are younger, don't necessarily embrace coaching. That has not been my experience because most of my clients are women, are Black women. So what's really happening in this dynamic? So as we begin this conversation, let me acknowledge that this may be a difficult conversation for you and that that's okay. So I'm inviting you to enter this conversation with an open mind and heart and welcome and stay curious about your discomfort. So what impact do you see that do you feel like your ancestors have on your growth and development as an extraordinary coach?
Remember, can you explain the word how did you say ancestor?
Yes. Thank you. That's a great question. So I define my ancestors as the people who have come before me. In my life, in my experience, my ancestors guide and protect me. They are both my bloodline. You know, what Terry read in the introduction is the family research that I have been doing. This is the line of women on both my mother and my father's side that I come from. And oftentimes, if you've ever tried to do your family research, it's a lot easier to find the men than it is the women. So I see my ancestors as both my bloodline, as well as those people who have come before me and made an impact on and are guiding and directing my life. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Adrienne. Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Adrienne?
Yes.
Hi, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Can I answer your question?
Please. Thank you.
Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Because I have a new computer and I don't know if it works. It's the first day today. So, well, your question resonates a lot with me because, and when I saw your shirt with your, it says that you are your wildest dream of your ancestors, something like that. And I really like the topic because I really feel like my, the women that came before me, my mom, my grandmothers, and I don't know much about the previous generation. I know a little bit, but they are influencing my coaching and my approach a lot because they had, especially as a woman, they had a very difficult life, and I am surely their wildest dream as a woman, as a professional, and I achieved so much thanks to their presence in my life, probably. I don't know how to put it into words, but it makes a lot of sense. And I've been investigating and working a lot inside my mind and my heart for many years now, and I can see the connection very clearly.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Christina. Does anyone else want to speak to that? How do your ancestors, what impact do your ancestors have on your growth and development as an extraordinary coach?
Well, I this is Scott. I'd just like to comment because there's a couple levels to this, you know, many levels to this, right? So there's the level that are my parents, my grandparents, the people that I was that I knew and could emulate or not emulate helped me become the person that I am today. And I remember my father was a very strong listener and a very companion. He would bring these sort of stray people in and work with them and do coaching, basically, before it was ever defined. And I think that there's something in the genes for that. But then I look back, my grandfather moved from Tennessee to Ohio when he was like 18, just on a lark, wanted to escape the family. And I went back to his hometown and doing some family history, and I saw the graves of my great-grandparents and that sort of thing. And some guy about my age was in the store, and I thought, this could be me if my grandfather hadn't moved. So the choices that they made to either come to America many centuries ago or to move from one location to another caused me to be in this exact place at this exact time.
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly it. And what's so curious to me is, as coaches, our role is to encourage our clients to look at the present and the future. You know, to be personally responsible for where we are and take accountability and be very purposeful and intentional about the choices we're making moving forward. And yet, you know, and I see a lot of familiar faces. I'm not sure if I'm talking to son coaches. So, you know, feel free to chime in if there's something that I say that you didn't understand. But when we are looking at specifically like the son roadmap, we're looking at visions and choices. We're looking at the choices we're going to make today. What can we do, be, and have in our lifetime to be purposeful? And what's interesting is as I started approaching the way that I work as a client, understanding that radical personal transformation is fantastic, but what does that client do with that radical person, now that they are healing, now that they are growing, now that they are bolder and more courageous, how are they turning that energy on to the world? How are they unleashing this wonderful person? And it occurs to me, if we look at the roadmap, you know, even our results game, we were making purposeful choices to move forward in the next 3 weeks. So those choices that we made 3 weeks ago have brought us to where we are now. And so even though we are looking at the present tense and the future, we also understand that the past has an impact on why we are where we are. And it's been a unique experience for me as a Black woman, as an African American, as an American, as a Virginian, as someone who was born in California, whose parents decided to move back to the East Coast. You know, all of these different choices that were made have impacted my life. So let's talk a little bit about racial equity in the way that we're coaching and being more mindful and present in this. So how do others perceive you racially or ethnically, and how has this changed over time, if at all?
This is Adriana. Mm-hmm. I believe that it depends also a little bit on the context that you are moving or surrounding. So where you are relating with people that has more similarities to you, there's a way on how they perceive you. But sometimes when you are moving with people that are very different from you, then how they perceive you will be different. And that's kind of the key to diversity. Mm-hmm. So I go ahead.
So I'm wondering, how do others perceive you racially and equity and ethnically?
So for instance, in the previous job that I had, I worked about 18 years in corporate life. And I was at a technical engineer, technical manager in an engineering group. So most of my peers were male, and most of them were from U.S. or U.S., but their origin was more like from India, from Lebanon, and all of that. So in my case, I was the female Latina, and actually younger than them. So it was interesting to be minority in different levels, like the gender, the age, my country of birth, and all of that. So if I reflect on how that impacted me at that point of time, is that I was consciously trying to do my best to make a good impression for them, because I was the different one in that environment.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So anyone else, how do others perceive you racially and ethnically? How has this changed? You know, Adriana talked about how it changes in different circumstances where you may be the one that is different. How has this changed over time, if at all?
If I may say something, I can easily answer how I perceive that others perceive me. But
yes,
what you are suggesting to me as a personal growth project, which I take on now, is to ask people how they perceive me in my ethnicity, et cetera.
Well, the curiosity in this moment is how do you see them perceiving you? Like, how have you? I can look at you and I see a female. I see, but we also know that there is a new awareness of gender identity. Do others identify you as a female? And how has that changed over time? Okay. Do people identify you as a white person? And has that changed over time?
Okay. I remember my parents saying to me, why are you so different? And they're both European, so I was the first generation American. And I was different. I always felt more aligned with the European backgrounds, and my parents had different, everything was different about the two of them, even the language when they met. They didn't have the same language, and they fell in love and had to learn each other's language. So it's been a back, and going before that, the Holocaust wiped out the family. So there's things that should be carried on to me and don't seem to be. So I'm different. I wanted to know about the past. Not allowed to be talked about in our family. That's the past. It won't happen again. Mm-hmm. So I'm different. On the other hand, I feel like spiritually what's different is I've grown and I feel like I'm the same with everyone. At the core, what's important is my purpose and who I am. So I see differences, and I don't focus on it, and that might be a fault of mine. I focus on the sameness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what's interesting in what I heard is that you were talking about being different but feeling the same and kind of this cycle. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love to say, and one of the things that the Sun tools teach us, is that systems create predictable results. Mm-hmm. And I have begun expanding my definition of what it means to do personal transformation, because we are not just individuals, we are individuals within a system. We are individuals within seasons and cycles. And one of those seasons and cycles is a system that actually can predict your access and the outcomes of you doing the things you need to do to thrive. And so when we talk about privilege, when we talk about awareness, because we present differently, we can actually predict how my access in certain situations will be different than yours. And the question is that okay? Why would that be okay? When would that be okay? And if it's not okay, again, taking personal responsibility, what is my role and how is that different from your role? What is our role together in doing something about this? Thank you. Does that make sense? Okay. So as we're talking about race equity, it really is about access and outcomes. And I think, Terry, you were touching on more along the lines of cultural humility and recognizing that there are differences, celebrating those differences, making room for those differences, being aware of those differences, but being more connected to what brings us together. And so it's race, ethnicity, gender, religion, sexual preference, socioeconomic status, geographic location. In any cultural context, we are different. It can be age, it, whatever. And so it's not so much that we don't want to recognize the differences. The question is, how are those differences impacting our access and the outcomes of what we need to thrive? How do they impact how we show up as coaches? When I've heard from many people who are happy to see my face because they're like, oh, I was looking for a coach that looked like you. You know, so as people are making the decision of whether or not they're going to engage with us, absolutely they want someone they can connect with. But on a very surface level, many times people are looking for how you present as a coach. Do you look professional? Do you look like an executive coach? Do you look more creative and artistic? And these decisions are impacting whether or not and how they enter into conversations with us. So what we're looking at, and I think it was Scott that said this, is a huge conversation. But what we're really looking at are the different levels of how we present, the different levels of where we've shown up, and the choices, the access, and the outcomes that we've had based on the way we present, and how that impacts us as coaches. And many times, what I'm suggesting is the choices were made not for us, but the choices that were made before we came along influenced what we think we know, what we believe, how we speak, where we are. I'm inviting everyone to be mindful about this in the way that we, as extraordinary coaches of people who, and I'm trying to remember the Terry, can you give me the new mission of coaching? It's just.
We are emissaries of purposeful being.
Absolutely. Thank you. Emissaries of purposeful being. So as we are being emissaries of purposeful being, how are we encouraging ourselves as well as our clients to think about the present and the future, and how the present moment is the present and then it's the past? And how can that past impact our future? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody's nodding. Okay, so we talked about the roadmap and the visions. We talked about race equity and cultural humility, and I'm kind of jumping around here. Where do the choices show up to impact the lives who come after us? Where do those choices that you are making as a coach begin to impact those that come after you? Whether it is a client that shows up next week, your great, great grandchildren, you know, what legacy, if you think about it in that context, are you crafting?
Dummy Day, please mute.
Say that again.
Dummy Day, I cannot mute you. We cannot hear anything but that.
Okay.
We still have Dummy Day problems. Dummy Day? I'm not able to mute you. So you may have to mute your computer. No, I can't mute him. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So it looks like he's all right, so
sorry about that.
That's okay. The question becomes, where was I? What the choices that you are making, the legacy that you are leaving behind, when you think about being a coach, what type of legacy are you being intentional about leaving in the work that you are doing?
There we go.
Perfect. Thank you.
Please repeat the question, yeah. Adrienne.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're talking about you as a coach and being intentional about the legacy that you would like to leave. So as you are thinking about becoming an extraordinary coach and working towards mindfulness and equity, what type of legacy are you working to leave? Not just in your industry, but you as a person. Hi, Diane.
Hi. My aim is to leave a legacy that's as that's as conscious as possible. If we go back to the first question, when a lot of what came was a lot of things, but one piece was a lot of unconsciousness. Mm-hmm. And it showed up in various ways. Excuse me. So my goal, my aim in my life, in my work, is to be as conscious as possible in my choices and in my considerations of my choices.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else?
It's Christina. To continue what I was saying before, I'm very conscious about what happened in my family. So what I embody and what makes me strong as a coach is to the purpose to reunite the feminine and masculine aspects of life. Because in my family, due to the Second World War, the power of the female part was taken away by the war. My grandfather died in Russia during the Second World War, so my mother and grandmother, they had to be on their own, and they kind of lost their feminine aspects because they had to be strong as male. So I put them together, and I try to recognize and to support people to recognize that, and I'm aware of that somehow. Mm-hmm. It's there somewhere.
Absolutely. So your legacy is encouraging people to reconnect the feminine and the masculine.
Yes, to reunite those two aspects somehow. It's not, I mean, I verbally explain it now, but it's in what I am. Mm-hmm. So what I show and what I am. And somehow I attract clients that needs to work on that. Mm-hmm. And they ask me to work on that somehow.
It almost becomes a deeper level of awareness of your purpose as you begin to explore your legacy, your family history. As you begin to explore, you know, there were, what I've noticed, I also work in a space where I am teaching people to be more civically engaged. And what I'm noticing is the care and concern of not just historic events, but what's happening in this moment gets deeper when you recognize that there was a point in history where there was a man that was killed in a war, and he had an impact on your life because that was your grandfather. Mm-hmm. and how that shaped you. And so it's an interesting way of looking at us as individuals in the broader context of how we relate to the world, in the broader context of how we show up, and where our concern is beyond our individual selves.
Yeah.
And from my experience, it has encouraged me to enter into some conversations that I may not have entered into. It has encouraged me to focus on and understanding things about myself and where I am and what's happening. But it has also given me a different lens into the decisions we as a community, whether it be the city I live in, the Commonwealth, the state I live in, the country I live in, or the world, we're all making decisions about how we move forward together. Mm-hmm. And those decisions are informed by the policies and the histories, the events that have come from the past. Mm-hmm. And so often we are operating from a space of fear and scarcity. Mm-hmm. Instead of the space where coaches are encouraging people to move in from love and mm-hmm. from abundance. And so as you look at wrapping your head around all of this and beginning to think about how you how the fear is showing up based on something, you know, messaging or belief systems that happened last week or happened today that you made meaning out of. And how are we healing this? How are we moving forward in a way that we are making, you know, the guidelines for living? We're making more purposeful decisions as we learn from the past, and we learn how we look and what it feels like and what it sounds like to be aligned in our purpose. As we become better at this, how are we expanding from the individual and looking at guidelines for living as a community, as a country, as a world? How are we applying the sun tools in the way that we look broader at the collective? Yes.
Can I say something too? This is all really interesting to me because it's a way that I hadn't really thought of this before. And but as I'm processing, you know, I find most of my clients don't look like me. If you look at their physical appearances, if you look at their nationality, their gender, their faith. You know, I had a Muslim client this morning that lives in Dubai. And so, but if you take the physical appearance out of it, and you, there's another level of ancestry that maybe is the soul ancestry, who, you know, I live in this body, this white bald guy with a beard now, but who am I inside? And I find that I really do connect and attract people that are similar in that lineage, if you will, no matter what race, no matter what religion or country they live in. Those people come to us, and as a sun coach, this makes more sense than perhaps if I wasn't trained in sun. But that there's this larger question, if you will, of how we get our clients. There's the physical aspects, but there's also this higher level uber brain aspect. I'm throwing that out for Terry. But it, that's why this discussion is really fascinating, because there's multiple levels you can really go with this.
Absolutely. How is this connecting with anyone else? Where are you? Where are you going with this?
I have to agree with Scott and Terry. It seems like more and more that we connect at the soul level, and the physical aspect becomes almost non-existent.
Yeah.
I find it interesting you talking about how the past influences us and how we are. And I can see that in my life very much. And probably more from my parents than from the, you know, more distant ancestors, although those distant ancestors did influence my parents quite a bit. So, yeah, it's very fascinating, this whole thing. My question for you is, how do we roll that into working with our clients?
That, what I've noticed, it's a great question. To me, and it always started with the personal work, being more aware of what I was not seeing about the way I'm showing up as a coach. I wholeheartedly agree with you in that I have always connected with people on based on who they are, but a lot in many ways that had to do with my past and how I grew up and what was I exposed to, and just, you know, it is a, one of the things I love about the Sun Coach system, the tools, is that it kind of uncovers and sheds what was not useful. And so it's not that we're learning to relate to people on that soul connection, as Scott said. It really is about remembering and unlearning And so I would say the first step is that we are becoming more intentional and mindful about the way that we are learning and uncovering what's our truth is. And allowing, our society is so polite, we don't like to talk about differences. It can be a very uncomfortable, why are we bringing this up? And so if we are emissaries of light, what can we do to be more courageous in bringing this up? What I'm hearing in the people that are coming to me, as you look at current events and the horrible things that are happening in the world, people are looking for someone who understands their pain. And so being in tune with the truth, being in tune with the joy that even resides in that pain, and helping people to reconnect with that becomes our task, becomes our role as a coach. And so as we're doing, I've always said, I am my best client. I am always working on myself. I am always looking at how these tools are being useful in my life, but it has also given me a level of courageousness and a level of clarity to be able to have these conversations with my other clients. One of the ways that I expand is I have started asking clients about how much they know about, we do the support network. That's another one. The support network is a wonderful thing, the way that it absolutely, it's an imagery of being just wrapped around a community. And you are at the center, and there are all these wonderful people that you get to talk about and the way they support you. One of the things I've started thinking about is, how do we make room for our ancestors on that support network? Where do they show up on that support network? And how are they doing and fulfilling the same roles that our inner circle and our, casual support and our, significant support, how are our ancestors playing a role in this?
It's almost a different dimension. I love that idea.
Yes. Well, and I love that you all are allowing me to just share these thoughts that have been coming around, bumping around in my head, because we know that the mind does not distinguish between the past, the present, and the future. Which means on some level, this is all happening at once. And the more we connect to the way that it is all happening, the more it gives us perspective. So I have been studying history. I've been studying Ida B. Wells is a hero of mine, because I think about the fact that she was literally run out of Memphis, Tennessee by white supremacists who wanted to kill her and had already killed her friends. And took that, and her early life struggles, her parents had died of like typhoid fever, and she raised her, her brothers and sisters. And here is this courageous woman who is speaking the truth and putting herself in harm's way to do so. And then dedicated her life to continue speaking the truth, continue to speak truth to power, continue to bring up difficult conversations, and the, not just the power, but the peace that comes from having these difficult conversations. And so, how are we learning from these examples? How are we putting this in perspective? I talked about, it's so funny, I get upset when I'm driving in traffic and there's a traffic jam. And I'm like, it completely sets you off. And then allowing, one of the things we do as coaches is put things into perspective. And how do we begin putting the challenges that our clients are coming to us with in perspective of this larger issue of, if all of this is happening at once, if all of this is purposeful and meaningful, what does this situation really mean in the larger scope? And how can we be more present, more peaceful, more joyful, more mindful of what's happening in this moment and how it serves us?
And Phil wrote something to you here, Adrienne. He said, I strongly agree with Christina that we must globally reunite our femininity and masculinity. We're entering a world needing feminine leadership, but also an increase in the integration of our personal feminine and masculine for everyone. A driver of this is this need for caring, loving, nurturing relationship is that global change is going exponential. This is driven by exponential technology, driving our global economies, culture, synergy, and integration.
Beautiful. Oh my goodness. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Yes, it is. There are so many different aspects to this. And the reality is that we are, you know, people love to talk about how awful social media is. But without the internet, we wouldn't be face to face right now. And so there are opportunities to create deeper, meaningful connections in ways that didn't exist 5, 10, 15 years ago. And so there's an aspect of community building. There's an aspect of finding your tribe. There's an aspect of committing to be there for others in more courageous ways. Even in these moments that look, change is always scary. You know, change is always, you know, it brings up anxiety, it brings up depression, it brings up grief, it brings up all types of things. But as we are looking as we're putting it into perspective, change is also an opportunity for newness and life and growth. And how are we standing in this moment in time, encouraging people to see all that is going beautifully, all that is going well, as what you see being presented to us is just the absolute opposite. Thank you, Phil. That was really wonderful. So who else, what other questions do you have about this? I think that it's important to think beyond. I love to use the term race equity because I also have been very aware of, from my own perspective, of, again, as someone who lives in the United States, in Alexandria, in, you know, the Commonwealth of Virginia, this ebb and flow of who belongs, who does not belong, who is human, who is not human, who was here before I was, what happened to them, why are they gone? Did they leave on their own accord, or were they removed? And you know, Virginia is in the midst of celebrating, you know, we're acknowledging, I should say, commemorating these 400 years of history, and looking at the race equity, looking at the enslavement of Africans in this country and what impact that has had, and the policies that were coming out of our government to say, you don't belong and you are not human, and I'm going to treat you that way because of it. We are also the same Commonwealth that has just accepted the fact that love is love and you are legally allowed to marry who you would like to marry. And so there's all these dynamics of how we show up. I'm very aware of the fact that this is also the same Commonwealth where my grandmother, who has lived her, born and raised in the state of Virginia, is now needing elder care. And how do we as a community collectively make sure everyone has access to what they need to thrive? And who gets access to that? And how do we make decisions about who is deserving and how we provide these services to them? So what is one dimension of your identity, be it religion, age, home, neighborhood, or that is important to you?
I'm going to be kind of a smart ass and say that really for me, I think the most important thing is that I'm a human and that I am able to connect with other humans. Mm-hmm. I think that many of the things you're talking about obviously concern many, many of our clients, all of those issues, all of those things in the news, all of the divisive politics, the divisive issues, and in essence, in my mind, all that, it doesn't matter because I am a human being that can connect with any other human being in a meaningful way. So I guess I'm not answering the question intentionally because I'm not the person that perhaps I was 5-10 years ago.
Okay. And I would love to challenge you to think about it in a different way. Because there are many, one of the purposes of recognizing and acknowledging your identity and how you present is recognizing the blessings as well as the curses of it. The benefits is the pros and the cons. And as a white man in America, I'm assuming by your accent.
Virginia. Virginia. I live in Ashland.
Okay. So as there are things that don't impact your day in a negative way. And
unless they do, because you're making assumptions, perhaps I don't have a financially successful business and I have trouble making bills every day. So you know, there are assumptions that you're saying that may or may not be true. And where I go is, none of that matters. When I'm working with a client, I need to know what their issue is and help them see, just like you're saying, the light, seeing that pathway forward and how do they want to influence their future generations. So in my mind, the past really brought us to where we are, and we acknowledge that, and we say thanks, but my choice for what I do tomorrow is entirely different, and it has no relationship on who, frankly, as a coach, I get the fact that maybe people seek me out because I look like them, or oh, I want a man for a coach, or I want this guy because he looks kind, or whatever it is, but in essence, who I am as a person to the client, in my mind, is irrelevant because I'm there for them.
Well, that is an ideal world. And the reality of the situation is for people who don't present in the way that you do, life looks very different. And the reality of the situation is there are things that you don't need to think about that people who present in a different way spend a lot of energy thinking about and protecting from and concerning themselves with. I know that living in the space where I live in, the melanin in my skin creates an opportunity for people to see this as a weapon. So when I jumped up the other day and ran into the bank to do some business, you know, on an off day, dressed, you know, I was treated in a different way than had I come into the bank dressed like I usually do when I'm presenting to my clients. And in many spaces in the way that we move about life, that's not just an inconvenience or an annoyance. That could be the difference between life and death.
I understand that, but that doesn't affect how I relate to my clients.
But understanding that this is the reality that your clients are coming with, there are things that you begin to understand about a client and the way they live and the way they think that having this level of awareness and exploring this, you begin to become aware of how you present and how that impacts the way they show up with you.
Adrienne, I have a question.
Sure.
When you're saying, how do we present as coaches, how will that relate or connect with authenticity? Because my perspective is the way we should present, it's being authentic on who we are. Mm-hmm. Am I seeing it just to understand, because maybe I'm interpreting the word present differently. So just to get your perspective there.
Right. So it comes back to recognizing it and acknowledging the differences in our access and our outcomes, and that how the way that we present, whether we are young or old or, you know, whatever, all the differences that we can have impacts our access and our outcomes. And it's not necessarily that you present in a different way and that's wrong. You are you, and I want you to present as you. But in interacting with someone else who presents the way that you do, whether it is a physical appearance or a mentality, meeting them where they are allows us as coaches to help them move from where they are to where they'd like to be.
So can I rephrase it to see if I'm so sure. When you're talking about that presenting, it's for us, we need to be authentic in order to be who we are, and from that authenticity be an extraordinary coach to serve our customers. And it's that sensitivity to understand how the customer is presenting and how the access that they have could affect their outcome, knowing that all of us are different and that some of those differences affects the access to opportunities and how they are perceived by others and also by themselves. Because sometimes when you are constantly being perceived in a certain way, you end up believing that, which
absolutely,
it's something that will need support from the coach and sensitivity from the coach.
Absolutely. And then you're bringing up, there are four different levels. When you think about the internalized, what am I beginning to believe about myself? Who was I told that I am? What do I deserve? The interpersonal, again, how do I interact with a client? How do I interact with a coach based on those beliefs that I have, based on their beliefs? But then it becomes institutional. Who am I within this institution? Do I belong? What type of power do I have? What type of influence do I have over who has access and who has outcomes? You know, what those access and outcomes look like. But then when you combine the institutions, you know, together, the different institutions, you know, do you have access to technology? Do you have access to finances? Do you have access to a room to sit in, to have a coaching meeting? And how are those different institutions impacting and creating this system where we can say that certain people have access and certain people do not? And then how do we as coaches learn? And this is, again, a huge conversation. How do we begin to learn about these different levels of interpersonal and internal and institutional and structural equity, differences in access and outcome, and how do we begin to use that understanding to become a more sensitive, more mindful, more equitable coach in the way that we interact? So I know we're running out of time. I think this has been a great conversation. I want to challenge you to think about, you know, what if the protected safe spaces we create made room not just for, again, radical personal transformation, but a legacy where our clients, where we as coaches are leaving a legacy of social justice, where we are leaving a legacy of equity, And how will our conversation help you design actions for your life, for your legacy of healing and equity?
Wow, that's great, Adrienne. Thank you so very much. And I would love to sit down with you and talk to you about some dimensions for the support network thing. I got some ideas that just engendered from this, so I will have to get with you on that.
Thank you.
And thanks to everybody for being here. Great questions, great topic, and a timely one. Interesting to see the different levels that we can look at this at. We get used to seeing it from one level, and it's kind of interesting to see it from a different level. So thank you so very much.
You're welcome. I hope this has sparked some thoughts and ideas.
I think it has already.
My only complaint, Adrienne, is that this went by much too quickly.
It's difficult to scratch the surface on such a deep and meaningful topic.
May we have a conversation about having a follow-up conversation at some point on the teleclass venue?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing at that level. And may you uncover your may you find your unspeakable joy, because it is here at this moment. And happy coaching week, everybody.
Oh, yay. Thank you all for joining this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.